Welcome to the OFR Farm Report, your look at the Atlanta Braves minor league system, brought to you by OutfieldFlyRule.com, hosted by Andy Harris and Matt Kritzberg.
Hey, everybody! Welcome to the OFR Farm Report podcast. With me, as always, my co-host, Matt Kritzberg. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Things are going well. How about yourself?
Oh, pretty good. Let's see. The Braves are up 2-1 in the top of the third inning in Houston. Darius Vines going tonight, which is always fun to see. Cutter, changeup, both look pretty good tonight. Location a little off, though.
Yeah, and I don't think they did him a whole lot of favors. He's gone 11 days between starts, so maybe he's getting those cobwebs loosened up, and hopefully he'll have some better location for the next game, because I would like to see him stick around for a while if he can have a – I think if he has at least a decent start and go 5 or 6 innings, they may bring him back Sunday and do it all over again.
Yeah, the big question that seems to be on social media right now is, why not Bryce Elder? And it's interesting. They actually, you know, scratched Elder from his start Sunday, which surprised me a little bit, because at least it seemed like they were giving some consideration about bringing him up. And maybe they will. Maybe as soon as this game's over or tomorrow morning, they'll option Vines and bring Elder up. But my conversation was, I don't necessarily, and I think you mentioned this last week too, I don't know if Elder is actually that high on the pecking order right now.
Yeah, and let's say if they option Elder tomorrow, bring up Elder, I mean, option Vines tomorrow and bring Elder up to be the quote-unquote long man for a few days and then start later on in the week, then he's in the same position as Vines going 11 or even more days between starts. That little thing is just getting kind of old. I'm hoping they can at least give somebody 2 or 3 starts in a row, but obviously it wasn't going to be Winans after his start last week, so I think they're just kind of working their way to the pecking order. And part of it too is that there are no relievers at Gwinnett who are exactly busting out right now. As we'll talk about in the recap, they're basically the entire bullpen an awful week. I'm not sure who you would bring up that is going to do much of anything. And then one guy you could possibly consider as a long man, Jackson Stevens, he's on the 7-day IL at Gwinnett. So you have not a whole lot of options there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate that's all kind of happening, you know, right as we need that depth. And boy, let's start with Winans. I kind of felt bad for him. I mean, a lot of it was location problems and stuff, but also the defense certainly didn't do him any favors in that, and neither did the home plate umpire.
Yeah, just everything worked against him in that game. I mean, I know it turned a lot of people off from ever wanting to see him again, but guess what? You're going to see him again at some point this season.
Yeah, even if it's not in a start, I you know, he's going to be a guy that's going to come up and provide bulk innings at some point during the season. And, you know, I think he can do it. I think he can do it at the major league level. It's just, you know, he's got to have his control. And, you know, that's what got him to this point, right? You know, pretty good control. I mean, his stuff is, you know, average, but the control is supposed to be better.
Yeah, and then let's say if you start option Vines tomorrow, you've optioned Winans last week, you're optioning Vines out, and those guys won't be available. I mean, you have to wait 15 days between reappearances, and that kind of cuts down considerably, and you have to have a fifth starter, so they're just going to kind of work their way through the list. I mean, it's kind of not a great situation.
I thought it was 10 days.
No, it's 10 days for position players, 15 for pitchers.
Oh my goodness. I can never keep that straight in my head.
They quit changing these rules on us.
I know. Jeez. All right. Well, the Braves did make a signing this past week, or, you know, reportedly have made a signing. It hasn't been made official yet. But reports are that the Braves have picked up former Houston first baseman Yuri Gurriel, and, you know, and also former batting champion and former Gold Glove winner, Yuri Gurriel, but now 39 years old, coming off 2 kind of subpar seasons with Houston in 2022 and then Miami last year. Obviously, this is a audition of sorts, maybe not even a audition for the Braves per se. you know, he's obviously going to, if he does well, there'll be some interest in him. I presume he'll have one of those contracts where there'll be milestones, and if he's not up in the majors by certain points, he'll be allowed to demand a release. But I can't help but notice this came just a few days after Eli White went on the IL.
Yeah, I kind of wonder maybe if they, I mean, I don't know what situation it would even get him to come to the big leagues, but yeah, I would think he would have something like that in his contract too. And he's not going to be holding anybody up at Gwinnett because if he's playing first base, they don't really have a first baseman right now. In fact, Ryan Castile played first base on Sunday, and they've just been kind of rotating guys in and out of there. So, I mean, it's a free look. Might as well see what you can get. But I kind of wonder at some point, hey, maybe they bring him up for kind of backup and maybe DH a little bit and send Forrest Wall down to get some work in because he's not getting much of anything at the major league level.
Yeah, Luis Guillorme making his first start. He got his first at-bat of the season today, you know, on April 15th. Forrest Wall still hasn't gotten an at-bat. He's just made a few He's only made a few pinch-running appearances so far. But I imagine he's there. He's there basically to fill the role that Eli White would have filled if they needed another hitter for whatever reason.
Yeah, let's say if a DH or Olsen goes on the IL, then you got a guy right there. I mean, it might not be the most embarrassing thing to put him out on the field for 2 weeks, but he's not a guy you want to be in there for the entire season.
No, if he's in the lineup every day, something terrible has happened. So, welcome to the Braves organization, Yuri Gurriel. And I hope you are in the big leagues with another team shortly.
And that you can produce something for Gwinnett in the meantime.
Yes. All right. Well, I don't really have anything else. You want to go right to the recaps?
Yeah, we can do that. Okay, yeah, Gwinnett had an interesting week. They went out to Omaha to face the Omaha Storm Chasers, the Kansas City Royals AAA club, and things did not go very well. They won 1 out of 6 games for the week, and the pitching staff was absolutely bludgeoned throughout the week. They gave up 60 runs in 6 games, or an average of 10 runs per game, including games where they gave up 18 and 13 runs. In the game in which they allowed 18 runs, Jackson Stevens, the loser of that game, gave up 4 unearned runs and then immediately hit the IL after that. And Ryan Castile even came on as the ninth inning pitcher and gave up 5 runs in that ninth inning as a position player, which was happened to be the same night that the Braves ended up using Luis Guillorme as a position player pitcher. So bang up day for those two clubs on the same day last Thursday. But looking at the starting rotations, I mean, it didn't help that they were down several pitchers last week between Bryce Elder, kept putting him off, I guess, possibly going to Atlanta and end up not going. And he just never made a start last week. Alan Winans is now with the Stripers and will likely make a start there this week, but obviously did not last week. And Darius Vines was with the big league club most of the week. So that put a serious dent in the starting rotation at Gwinnett. Oscar Ynoa got 2 starts this week, 1 on Tuesday and 1 on Sunday. The Tuesday start did not go well at all. He only lasted an inning and 2/3, gave up 6 runs on 8 hits, and he was just knocked all over the place, and there was nothing pretty about that start. But the one on Sunday went a lot better. He pitched 4 innings, and he only gave up 1 hit. It was a solo home run, but it was the only thing he gave up. Struck out 3 and walked 1. And it looks like they're kind of steadily building him up on pitch count. And he pit through 49 pitches on Tuesday and through 60 pitches on Sunday. So looks like they're going to give him by several more starts to get him up to like a full workload.
Yeah, that first start, that first inning, he looked really good. And then the second inning, he got bleeped and blooped a little bit and couldn't quite seem to nail down an out. And then I think he I think he got fatigued. You know, he's still trying to make his way back from that injury. He started missing in the zone, and that's when they really started kind of teeing off on him. It's just also in that game that I think at some point in that inning is when Eli White got hurt. He was playing left field, and he was running down a lot of balls. I watched the inning, and I tried to figure out when exactly he got hurt, and I couldn't quite tell. But after that inning, he didn't come back out on the field. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on with Eli White. It may not matter in the great scheme of things, but it's one less depth option for, you know, in case of injury.
That's for sure. Continuing with the Gwinnett starters, AJ Smith Shawver had another start, and once again, it didn't go particularly well. Two and a third innings, gave up 3 runs on 4 hits. He did strike out 5 and walk just 1, but still having trouble locating in the zone. Building him up to about 50 pitches, and they are planning him as kind of low intensity outings. I mean, the last couple of ones, I think the last one, they were only planning on him going 2 innings. This one, I imagine it was just, he's going to get to 50 pitches and they're going to pull him no matter where he was at, but still not exactly ready for the big league level. The following night, Dylan Dodd pitched 4 2/3, gave up 5 runs on 6 hits. He basically had a full workload. Unfortunately, it was the longest start by a Gwinnett starter this week. After a couple of really good outings to start the season, this one kind of fell a little flat. And then the rest of the week, they just had a couple of bullpen games to kind of get through the week until they can kind of reset their rotation this week.
Yeah, as far as Smith-Shawver, it's important to remember he's still only 21 years old. All the ligament in the arm, you know, the talk of the town these days, the UCL, you know, it's still developing with him, right? So I think with the resurgence of UCL injuries, I think teams are taking another look at the loads that they're giving, especially very young starters, and maybe dampening that down. I think we've seen the extreme example today, the Miami Marlins have optioned Max Meyer back to AAA, and they indicate they're going to hold him to about 3 innings a week for at least a little while. Not because he's hurt, and, you know, we saw this weekend he shut down the Braves pretty hard. So the ability is there, but with them off to a start where they've only got 3 wins right now, I think they've gone into full tank mode, and they're going to manipulate his service time and just try to, you know, he's already had Tommy John. So I think they're just trying. They're also being extra careful with him and saying, well, if we can't pitch him in meaningful games, we're just going to try to conserve him as much as possible. You can kind of understand it from a strictly business perspective, but boy, that sucks for Max Meyer.
Yeah, and I think I saw somebody mention on another tweet this afternoon that if they keep him down for the 15-day option, that would give him another year of service time. So we'll see how long that lasts. And looking at some of the relievers, we talked earlier, it's like, who would they even call up? Among the relievers they would possibly be looking at, Ray Kerr, who was on the 40-man roster and is available, he had one really good appearance early in the week, inning in a third, struck out 3, just gave up 1 hit. But then the second outing of the week, where he only got 2 batters out, gave up 2 runs on 2 hits, including a home run and a walk as well. So he got roughed up a little bit. And Daisbell Hernandez had 2 appearances for the week and was knocked around pretty good in both of them. 3 1/3 innings, 8 hits, 3 earned runs. So I'm not sure either one of those guys is going to be the one to be called up if it came to that. And then Ken Giles, even. He had 2 appearances this week, and neither one of those went particularly well. He had one inning outing where he didn't allow any hits, but he did walk 3 and gave up a run. And then in the next outing, he gave up 2 runs on 2 hits and just 1 inning of work, although he did strike out the side. But he did walk a batter, and he also hit another batter. So I don't think any of these guys are going to be on the short list to be called up.
Yeah, when your best pitcher of the week was Zach Loge, who just came back up from Mississippi, you know, it's not been a great wait for the pitching. And, you know, Omaha, that's a hitter's park anyway. I mean, the offensive numbers coming out of that park are usually pretty spectacular. And that team, the Omaha team, may be the best or certainly one of the top three teams in AAA probably this year. Our old friend Drew Waters is on that team, and he had a really good week this week.
and same with CJ Alexander.
yes. It was kind of cool seeing those two guys, but wish it was under better circumstances.
Yeah, that's how bad things got this week, is they brought up Zach Logue to make a start in a bullpen game, and they also brought up Daniel Martinez all the way from Rome to eat up some innings as well. I know we had the discussion last week. He showed up on both the Rome and Mississippi rosters to start the season, and then he ends up showing up at Gwinnett.
I didn't know if you saw their Twitter feed, but when Rome announced that he was being promoted to Gwinnett, Mississippi responded, "Well, that's just rude."
So that's how it feels. Looking at the offense for the week, the offense didn't do that badly. They scored 28 runs over the six games, including games where they scored 6, 7, and 9 runs. Several of the batters had pretty good weeks, but it wasn't across the board. In particular, we had J.P. Martinez. He's had a really good start to his season, and he had a week where he OPS 940 and had 4 stolen bases and also a double and a triple. And he's doing really well right now in the outfield. And if anything happened to anyone at the Atlanta outfielders right now, I think J.P. Martinez would be the first one up. He's already on the 40-man roster and has options, so he would definitely be in line, especially with Eli White being out right now. Other ones, David Fletcher, the $6 million man that they're paying a lot of money to play for Gwinnett this year. He had a good week, hit safely in all 6 games and OPS'd over 800 for the week. And veteran Lurie Garcia, who spent time with the White Sox, he's had a really good week as well. He had 10 hits and 4 multi-hit games. No OPS'd over 1,000 for the week with 5 RBI, so nice week for him as well. And veteran catcher Sandy Leon, not known for his offense, had a really big week. He only played in 3 games, so he went 8 for 12 with 2 home runs and 6 RBIs. So pretty solid, but obviously didn't end up for naught for the week. As I said earlier, the Gwinnett Stripers went 1-5, but they will return home to face Memphis this coming week.
Yeah, watching him play, I get the impression that he hits homers now because he just doesn't really want to run much. Yeah, jogging is definitely his speed at this point.
Yes. All right, we will move on to Mississippi. Mississippi had a decent week. It was a week that was very bereft of offense on both sides, again, as they take on the Biloxi Shuckers. As a total, the Mississippi Braves scored 11 runs this week and only gave up 15 runs. So a whole lot of low-scoring games in there. In fact, in the first 3 games of the week, the M-Braves won all 3 games, outscoring their competition 7-1 total over the 3 games. Mm. But we did have some abbreviated games this week, a rain-shortened 7-inning game and obviously a 7-inning doubleheader to replace a rained-out game. Later in the week, didn't fare quite as well as they lost those 3 games, scoring only a total of 4 runs over the 3 games behind some not great starting pitching. But overall, the starting pitching did well. J.J. Negro got the home opener and tossed 6 scoreless innings and got the win. And pitched again on Sunday, didn't go quite as well. Gave it 2 runs over 4 2/3 innings before reaching his pitch limit. It looks like they're limiting their pitchers to around 75 pitchers or so at the moment. But not a bad start for a guy that's expected to be kind of in the middle of the rotation. Drew Parrish pitched the first game of Thursday's doubleheader, gave up just 1 run over 5 innings and got a win. And Ian Mejia pitched the second game and tossed 6 scoreless innings and getting a win as well. So nice starts for both of those guys. All right, Luis De Avila, the second not great start of the season, 3 1/3 innings, 3 runs, although only 2 of them were earned. But the big thing for him, he just allowed a ton of base runners, 5 hits and 5 walks over those 3 1/3 innings. He was probably lucky to get out with only 3 runs and 2 earned runs allowed. On Saturday, Hurston Waldrop got a second start of the season. First one went very, very poorly. This one, slightly better. He got roughed up pretty badly in the first couple of innings, gave up 3 runs of the first 2 innings, but recovered for the last couple of innings until he reached his pitch limit. So he ended up going 4 1/3 innings, giving up those 3 runs mentioned earlier. He walked 4 gave up 4 hits and struck out 3, but he did throw a career high 85 pitches. So they're still kind of building him up as well. So much like AJ Smith-Shawver, wouldn't really look at the results right now, just kind of see that they're building up their starting pitching.
Yeah, in the situation in the Southern League, are they still using those pre-tack balls?
I haven't heard anything this season, but the fact that they sent him there in the first place, I think tells me that they're not doing anything weird with the balls. I don't think they would have sent him there if that was the case.
Okay. It was nice seeing Ian Mejia really bounce back off. He had a terrible first start and, you know, come back firing 6 scoreless, only allowing 3 hits. That was really good. And Negro looked really, really good. I believe Chris Harris said something kind of interesting. He said that he's healthy this year. And he kind of implied that he was battling a few things. He was trying to pitch through some things maybe last year. And it'll be interesting to see if Negro can kind of keep this performance up. If he does, that's a big out of nowhere kind of find here.
Yeah, in fact, I attended the Sunday start, and I could tell some good things about him. I mean, his stuff is not spectacular, but he works fast and he throws strikes. I mean, he was just on it, and I think those are the two things that work really well for him. And it definitely worked well in the first start, and it worked to an extent yesterday as well. But seeing those two things out of him. But he can just kind of speeds the game along, and I'm sure the fielders appreciate that as well.
Yeah, any guys that can provide bulk innings in the minor leagues, you know, they're really worth their weight in gold. You know, just and if Negro can be one of those guys, like he was 2 years ago when he was pitching with Augusta, you know, that's a big help.
Yeah, and the bullpen basically didn't get much work at all the first half of the week because, all three were 7-inning games, and the starters, Negro went 6 innings, Parrish went 5 innings, Mejia went 6 innings. So the bullpen only got 4 innings of work in the first 3 games total for the week. So, yeah, not a whole lot going on there. But in the bullpen, a couple of nice arms. Domingo Gonzalez, who returned from last season, 2 one-inning outings where he didn't give up any runs or hits with 4 strikeouts. Trey Riley had a pretty decent. He did give up 1 run in one of his outings, but he pitched a total of 3 innings, struck out 5 over those 3 innings, and got a save as well. Jake McStain, he did give up a run yesterday where I attended, but 3 1/3 innings, 6 strikeouts, and got a win for the week as well. So it's a pretty nice arms in the bullpen for Mississippi. Moving on to the offense, as I mentioned, they only scored 11 runs, so there's not a whole lot of offense to talk about. But one great thing I saw yesterday when I was at the game was Nacho Alvarez, and I put a whole lot of stuff up on Twitter/X about what he did yesterday. It was turning into a Nacho Alvarez appreciation account. He had 3 hits, had 2 stolen bases, and was very impressive. He went to all fields. In fact, his 3 hits, 1 went to the left, 1 went to the center, 1 went to right. Unfortunately, he with the game on the line, things didn't go so well. He had a 3-0 count, worked it to 3-2, and struck out looking. Mm. And it may have been one of those situations where he knew the strike zone better than the umpire did.
I've said before, when you're in a situation when you absolutely need a single to win the game, I would rather have Nacho Alvarez up there than anybody else in our minor league system right now. So if he struck out looking 3-2, I'm guessing it wasn't really a strike.
Likely wasn't. So he was in a position to do it because at least tie the game because Cody Milligan had walked and stolen second base, and he had a pretty nice week of his own. He only got 4 hits for the week, but he was only just 4-for-18, but had a double, a triple, 3 walks, and 5 stolen bases on the week. So, I mean, he's doing the kind of stuff a leadoff man is supposed to do. Pretty nice work for him in this week. And then Justin Dean had a nice week as well, 4-for-14 with a double and 4 stolen bases. So looks like that's how this Mississippi team without a whole lot of power is going to make its living is getting on base and stealing as many bases as humanly possible.
Yeah. Milligan, you know, 381 OBP on the week. You know, that's just his game now, right? He's been an on-base percentage machine now for the last 3 seasons. So, you know, I really hope that he gets a shot here at Gwinnett at some point. It seems unreal that he's still in Mississippi, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think he's just caught up in the numbers game. But you would think with Eli White being out, that might have possibly freed up a spot. But I think they wanted to wait until they can get him up for good. But it seems like I don't believe he's played any second base yet this season. He didn't play a whole lot last season, but it seemed like every week or two they would just throw him out there at second base just to almost kind of keep him familiar with the position, but I think he's just the center fielder now, and that's it.
Yeah, considering how many infielders they have right now, and they've got, you know, Alvarez playing shortstop every day, you know, they've got to rotate those other guys around. It looks like Conley's going to be the main guy at second, but you've also got Augins, you've got Sanchez, you know, Bunnell, all those guys. I don't see the second Milligan at second base like thing happening maybe at all.
I don't either. I think there's too many guys. I mean, like you said, there's like probably four guys right now that can play second base, and they're having enough trouble. It seems like Cal Conley is basically the everyday guy, throwing a couple of guys there once in a while. It would have been a lot more interesting if David McCabe hadn't gotten hurt and he was playing third base every day. It's like what would they have done with Augins at that point?
Yeah, that's a good point. Rome is the city of seven hills. Well, those hills were very soggy most of this week. The first 3 days were completely rained out. In fact, the third day on Thursday, they had planned a doubleheader to make up for the one of the rainouts, and both of those games got rained out. One of those was canceled outright. So they ended up only playing five out of the six games. And Hudson Valley will not be back this year, so they just went ahead and canceled that game. So Rome has a half-game lead in the South Atlantic League South Division right now. So that's going to be irritating for the rest of the first half. The pitching was overall good once games resumed. Guys that you would expect to pitched well, Owen Murphy, Spencer Schwellenbach, Lucas Braun, pitched good starts. They all went at least five innings. Murphy struck out another eight batters. He gave up two runs, but only one of those was earned. So he now has 16 strikeouts in 13 innings, which is a spectacular start. The Braves have to be thrilled. Because of the rainouts and stuff, we had a couple of spot starts. Corey Wall got his first game action of the year, pitched three scoreless innings in a spot start. And then on Sunday, Tyree Thompson, the spot start went not as well. They ended up losing that one with Braun pitching kind of in between those two. Drew Hackenberg didn't get a start. Hopefully is just rain related. Hopefully he'll be pitching early this coming week. The bullpen, pretty solid. Landon Harper came in after Tyree Thompson and pitched four scoreless innings to keep the Emperors in that game. But unfortunately, the Shea Shanahan came in after that and didn't have a great outing, unfortunately. So and that was the end of that one. But Ryan Barasa pitching toward the end of the bullpen, three scoreless innings, and Jared Johnson also getting some ninth inning looks, also did not allow a run. So a lot of hard throwers at the tail end of that Emperor's bullpen, and they're doing pretty well.
Yeah, I just wonder how much longer Spencer Schwellenbach's going to be at Rome, because, I mean, he's been ultra impressive the first two games of the season. Owen Murphy's a little younger, so I could see them leaving them there a little while longer, but ooh, that's a pretty stout rotation at the moment.
Yeah, I think they may just be waiting for Jean-Carlos Lara to get back, assuming that he'll start in Rome. Somebody will get pushed out. It seems like Schwellenbach would be the logical choice there. There is a spot in Mississippi available, right? So it may just be that. It may be, you know, we heard late April for Lara, so it may be within the next 7-10 days or so that happens. But, you know, for whatever reason that they want to be cautious of them, it could be someone like Lucas Braun that moves up as well. He's, you know, he's not old. He's like 23, but he's an advanced pitcher. He's, you know, four pitches, good control. He's a guy that I can see continuing to do well, you know, in the middle part of the organizational ladder here. So I would say it's going to be one of those two. My guess would be Schwellenbach, but, you know, don't don't count out Lucas Braun as the guy that gets called up when the opportunity arises.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, he got off to a really strong start out of college for Augusta last year and just kind of worked his way up quickly. So, yeah, that's a definite possibility.
Yeah, so offensively, you know, we talked about last year. We talked about last week how this team could struggle offensively, and they did this week. Yeah, they only scored 11 runs on the week. Really no offensive standouts. EJ Exposito hit the first home run and so far the only homer for the team on Sunday. Unfortunately, it went to a losing cause, and that was his only hit on the week. Adam Zabrowski was on base a lot, but you kind of expect him to hit for power, but he only had one RBI on the week. He was on base a lot, but without, you know, he hits fourth, so not a lot behind him, so we only ended up scoring one run despite a 429 OBP this week. Saban Ceballos had a fun walk-off single and got to do the penguin shuffle on second base, but you know, otherwise only four hits on the week for Ceballos.
Yeah, Rome scored 11 runs for the week and Mississippi scored 11 runs for the week. Insert Spider-Man pointing at each other meme here.
Yeah, well, wait till we get to Augusta.
Ooh!
Well, there's good news and bad news with Augusta. The bad news all happened pretty much in the first three games. They were at Kannapolis, and the first three games went about as bad as you could imagine, almost completely due to really sloppy defense. The worst was on Tuesday when the team committed seven errors, four of them by Diego Benitez at shortstop. Then he had another two errors the following night. To his credit, no more errors the rest of the week. Hopefully he cleared his head, put it behind him. Our reports on him are not that he's a bad fielder, right? That he's, you know, he's obviously learning. So hopefully that was a blip that will not be repeated. But basically the defensive errors, those three games completely sabotaged anything that the pitching was doing. However, the pitching was solid. The big pitching performance was from right-hander Adam Meyer. Through five shutout innings, only allowed two hits, didn't walk anyone, struck out six. So really, really strong outing for him. In fact, he was our OFR pitcher of the week. Cade Kyler looked great again, struck out seven and four innings. He gave up two runs, but both of those were unearned. Didier Fuentes, his first look at the in the season, 3 2/3 scoreless inning in his season debut. And then Garrett Bauman, his second start of the season, only allowed two runs and one hit in 5 2/3 innings. So the starting pitching was there pretty much. The bullpen was iffy. We had some solid outings and then a couple blow-up outings. You know, it's par for the course at this level. Probably the best performance was from Mitch Ferris on Saturday in relief of Meyer. He made a start the previous week. This time he piggybacked with Meyer, four innings, only three hits, struck out seven, did not allow a run. So between Meyer and Ferris, they shut out Kannapolis.
Yeah, Meyer's gotten off to such a great start for a guy that most people did not realize existed a couple weeks ago or thought it was a real person. He's come right in and gotten off to a great start. And it's good to see, and hopefully it just keeps going from there as they build him up.
Yeah. You know, the Braves like to do some organizational shuffling around May 1st, you know, after everybody's kind of settled in for a month. If they decide to make two moves and they send both Schwellenbach and Braun to Mississippi, you know, Meyer may be a guy that moves up to Rome. You know, his control is such that he's probably just completely outclassing single A hitters, right?
Yeah. Yeah. If he gets another one or two starts like he had, I mean, where he doesn't walk anybody and a few hits. Yeah. It's going to show that he's not nothing to gain by still being at low A if that happens, much like we saw from the last couple of seasons. They're not afraid to pitch it. They don't think they have anything to gain from staying in that league.
Yeah, and at 22 years old, he's actually a little bit older than the average age of the competition, which is something that the Braves really do look at. So, yeah, if they're able to move two, it may be activating Laura, moving Meyer up, and then moving Schwellenbach and Braun to Mississippi. I could see that maybe, you know, around maybe May 6th, May 7th, that first week.
Yeah, that could definitely happen.
As for the offense, kind of like the defense, it didn't really show up the first part of the week. But as things settled down, the final three games they won, and some guys that had been kind of in an offensive funk came out of it a little bit. And that was led by Cade Kern, who is our OFR position player of the week. Only went 5 for 15, but he made those five hits count, including the first home run for Augusta of the season. He stole two bases, was on base at a 412 clip. And Jace Grady on Sunday hit the second home run of the season for Augusta. So he had ended up with a pretty good week as well. Drew Compton at first base, also nice week. Those three especially kind of powered the offense. Diego Benitez only hit 211, but he did have a triple in there. He looks like he's got, you know, he's got a clue up there. He did strike out nine times, but he's taken his walks a little bit. It will be interesting to see how he goes as he gets settled in here. Again, only 19 years old, right? So expect him there all season, and we'll see how it goes with him. But I've liked a little bit of what I've seen of him so far. You know, the seven errors in 2 days. Excluded from that, of course.
Yeah, and the Alexander Martinez watch is still on. We got to discuss it a little bit this week. He is now 0-for-19 to start the season behind the plate.
Yeah, you know, watching him hit, he looks very, very young, and he looks very lost right now. He did make some contact and drove in a run this week. Yeah, he's not making really good at-bats. He struck out five times in 12 at-bats. So we'll see how long they go with him. Jacob Godman, they split the duties right in half. And it's not like Godman's hitting all that great either, but Godman's also 24. We'll see if they think that keeping Martinez up at this level right now is helping his development or not.
Yeah, and it could very well. I mean, like I said, there's nobody behind him waiting to take his spot. There's no harm in keeping him up unless they decide that there is harm in his long-term development, because we know he's got some defense behind him, but yeah, you got to be able to hit a little bit.
Yeah. You know, and in the end, I mean, like I said, the pitching has been pretty solid. If guys feel good throwing to him, you know, maybe that buys him some time here.
Yep, I agree.
But boy, this is a really young team.
Definitely different than we've seen over the last few years. I think this international class really getting up here for the first time has really changed the composition of the team for the first time in quite a few years.
Yeah, in some ways it's better. You got more things to kind of dream on, where, you know, the last couple of years you kind of knew what you were going to get, and it definitely had, you know, a ceiling,
like, right? College, college guys with limited ceilings, or guys who've just been hanging around for a while just to fill in spots.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to wrap up our organizational look through, and hopefully you enjoyed that. Matt, you got anything else?
No, pretty solid week. Getting to see some development throughout the organization, and hopefully we start seeing some better performances from the starting pitching at the upper levels.
Yeah. You know, this was fun. Talking minor league ball. It's just great, isn't it?
Exactly. First full week for every team, and we're going to be doing this for the next few months. So buckle up.
All right. Hope everyone has a great week, and we'll see you next Monday.
Have a good one.
No. Ni le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal Mes chagrins, mes plaisirs, je n'ai plus besoin d'eux. Balayer les amours avec leur trémolo, balayer pour toujours, je repars à zéro. Non, rien de rien, non, je ne regrette rien. Le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal, tout ça m'est bien égal. Non, rien de rien, non, je ne regrette rien, car ma vie